Okay, folks, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا رب الكريم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Everybody, I hope the audio especially and maybe the video as well is in good shape. Please confirm so that I can feel relaxed. We had to change plan a little bit. I had some urgent work that needed to be done, and I knew that I was going to finish very, very late. Just literally finished from work right now, I couldn't make it to the masjid and all the rest of it. So anyway, this is going to be the 7 p.m. online is also going to be the next few weeks anyway. And so we thought, you know what, let's just keep it going, inshallah. But anyway, it's good to see you all online, mashallah. It's nice to do the online, folks. So wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Auntie Shakira firstly, and then Awzar down in Leicester, and then Ambreen, and then Roshan. And then Umar, who I'll be with next week, and Junaid, his brother as well. Hanifa, good to see you. It was nice to see you in London, actually. I forgot to say to you that you and your sister was nice. Shahan, good to see you in London as well. And then Ilyas, Amal, hope you're good. Tell us about your foot. Give us an update. How's Sheffield and how are you? Mustafa, nice to see you. I hope Amir is good. Mbalu, always nice to see you. Hope your boy is doing well. Hope you enjoyed Fiqh Salah. Didn't get back to you then. Didn't even tell me, man, how it went. Fatima, good to see you. Iram, Farisa, Irfan. Where are you, Irfan? Are you still here or what? Usama and everyone. And Zakumullah khair for telling me that everything is great. Lutz, walaikum salam. Why are you being so nice and polite for, Lutz? What's going on? What have I done? I'm very suspicious. Very suspicious. Medina, good to hear and see from you. Zafar, you know what it is? I haven't even had the time taken to take this off will mean having to adjust the shirt. Yeah, I couldn't be bothered, man. I couldn't be bothered. Wallah, I couldn't. And then Zahid is good to see you. Qamar and Yunus. All right. So that's my salams and my loves and respect to everyone online. Hope you're all good, inshallah. So the plan for the next few weeks, just to make it clear, I will be doing a... not next week, but the week after, I'll be doing a session from Mecca. And if there are people local, then maybe we'll release the place. It's becoming incredibly difficult, by the way, to secure a place in Mecca. It's not like Medina, right? And it's almost unheard of that I would do a lesson in Medina, because I just wouldn't be there on a Wednesday. Good to hear that, Amal. We're glad to hear that. Lots of du'as going your way. Medina is like so beautiful to do the lesson there, but it's very, very rare that it would actually happen. I'd have to change the day to do it in Medina. Whereas Mecca, always the lesson comes up. But anyway, it's like I said, the law, the legal's tough. But we're going to try and get it done, inshallah, in 2 weeks' time. Next week, I'm going to be on the road. It's going to be too difficult to gather people it can't be a roadshow, basically. So that's that. So three lessons online, 7 p.m. today, next week, week after, and then back in Chido for the rest of for the next couple of months, actually. Back at Chido, confirmed time of 10 past 8 online, UK time. And we'll have some stability, inshallah. Walaikum salam, Bilal. Good to see you, bro. So that's that. The big thing is the Hajj. The Hajj now, folks, everybody who is here, and those folks that are planning to or hoping to go to Hajj, then get them onto the social media websites or the hajwithae.com site, and let them join the Telegram channel, because we're going to really start hotting things up next week. And then the week after, everything's going to go live. So this is now crunch time. The next month is now mental Hajj behavior. That's that. And other than that, I don't have any other updates, to be honest. I don't have any other updates. Let's jump straight into the text. So let's find our document, Shahzad Salim. Here we are. There we are. Open in a new tab. Right, here we go. So, God, I'm getting old. I can't see anything. Let me make it massive. Oof, it's great being on my computer. You know what? I realize that this is what we used to do for like, I don't know how long. I don't know if you guys remember, man, during COVID and stuff. So nice. I can't remember whether it was as smooth as it was then, but it's so nice. Well, you see that nice fade in and old camera and everything looks nice, isn't it? MashaAllah. Anyway. Oh, sugar. New notes going to be needed. Shaz, you're going to have to remind me to do the translation on Friday or Saturday before I leave. That's a major flipping. Oof, oof. Oof. Okay. The Arabic. وتكبيرات الزوائد وذكر بينها والخطبتان سنة ويكره التنفل قبل الصلاة وبعدها في موضعها ويسن لمن فاتته أو بعضها قضاؤها على صفتها. We did that, I think, two weeks ago, actually. ويسن التكبير المطلق في ليلتي العيدين. This is what we did last week. وفي فطر آكد وفي كل عشر ذي الحجة والمقيد عقب كل فريضة في جماعة من صلاة الفجر يوم عرفة وللمحرم من صلاة الظهر يوم النحر إلى عصر آخر أيام تشريق وإن نسيه قضاه ما لم يحدث أو يخرج من المسجد يعني yeah, that's it. وإن نسيه قضاه ما لم يحدث أو يخرج من المسجد ولا يسن عقب صلاة عيد وصفته شفعا الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. So, just to keep it complete, additional takbirs and dhikr between the two khutbas is a sunnah. It is disliked to offer any supererogatory prayers before or after their Eid prayer in that location. We obviously spoke about that, and Sheikh Uthaymeen's opinion that no, you should do that. It doesn't matter. It is sunnah to make up the prayer exactly as it is if one misses all of it or part of it. Then, it is a sunnah to make unrestricted takbir, what we call a takbir al-mutlaq, on the night before Eid, being more emphasized in Eid al-Fitr, and in general, all throughout the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. It is also a sunnah to make the specified takbir or restricted takbir, which is called at-takbir al-muqayyad, after every obligatory congregational prayer, from the Fajr prayer on the day of Arafah until the end of the days of Tashriq for those not performing Hajj. And after the Dhuhr prayer on the day of Nahr, until the end of the days of Tashriq for those in Ihram, i.e. those doing Hajj. We'll explain all this now. If we get to it, if one forgets, he can make them up, meaning the takbir, as long as he has not broken his wudu or left the masjid. It is not sunnah to offer it, meaning the takbir, after the Eid prayer. In its dual form, it is pronounced Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. There is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. And to Allah, all praise is due. So that's the text, folks. That's what we're looking at, inshallah. And then the, we used to have purple lighting. I could have done that, you know. Guys, you know what? Just for the vibes. I don't know if it'll work or not. Since I had the floods, I haven't even connected my thingy. But it is good to try to find out what the score are. It doesn't like it, I don't think. Guys, I can't believe I forgot about the purple lights. Oh, shut up. That's all. One second, guys. Is that nice? Let's have a look on the screen what it looks like. Let's have a look to see what it looks like. Yeah, there you go. That's all right. Oh, no. Wait. I'm still waiting for the... Oh, that's too much. That's too much. That's too much. There we go. Ah, man, I can't believe I forgot about this. You guys didn't even remind me, man. Okay. Listen, just for the vibes, bros. Yeah, because remind ourselves of the good times. And there we go. Little tinge. Just a little hue. I'm happy now, man. Those were good times, bro. Oh, shut up, man. Although I think she might be right, you know. Sad gamer. Sad gamer vibes. You know what? She might have a point. You know what? Let's put on, instead of sad gamer vibes, let's put on happy pack vibes. Yeah. Yes, you're all to blame for this derailing. Okay? Not all mad. Everybody wanted this. Okay? You know, people complained so much. They said last week's lesson was so dry and so quick. So, if you don't like sad gamer purple, now have some happy pack. Baksan Zindabad. Some green vibes. Okay? Let's see, what did the green do? Didn't do much, did it? Yeah, you know what? That's very subtle and nice. There you go. All right. We're sticking to it now. No one's complaining about that. Just subtle a little bit. All right. There we go. You see, the thing is that green is one of those things that you can't actually see too much because of the color spectrum or whatever it's called, some of the class anyway. Yeah, you can't really see the green. But it's there. It's there. It's there. So there you go. Subtle Baksan Zindabad. There we go. Okay, Fatima, I hope that you're satisfied that the sad gamer is gone and happy pack is here. Right. We're being what's it called? Distracted. Let's focus on what we got to get done. What we got to get done is we started on the issue of Takbir al-Muqayyad. And we stopped where Sheikh Uthaymeen was basically explaining it. Right. So I want to say, beautiful vibes. And a Paddy Power advert, they're always the best adverts anyway. So we'll take that. Paddy Power, I'll take that. All right. Crop Bags, we'll take that as well. I like that. Good to have you back, Lutz. وَاخْتُلِفَ فِي مَحَلَّ حَدَ تَكْبِيرَ الْمُقَيِّدِ. The question now is, where do you say this takbir, which we don't even know the wording of yet, but we're just talking about, you know, the theory about where it should be, where it should, you know, what timings, what prayers it follows. So it's actually very interesting the way that the Sheikh is putting this. He's not actually getting to what you say first. He's first defining what it is, its legal status, where it goes, before what, how, what, when it's like unrestricted, when it's restricted. And at the end, then he's going to tell us actually what it is that you say, what you actually say for it. So at the moment now, he wants to discover what is it now. It's after the prayer. Okay, when after the prayer? Then we'll talk about what prayer. So when after the prayer? So we say, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. We learn from our class that the first thing that we say is astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And then you've got a number of adhkar, which are the post-salah adhkar, which are authentic and well-known. That question is irrelevant now, Mazita, about what page, because what does that even mean anymore, right? We don't have a set text. I use Sharh Mumti', which is a different published volume than others. Others are using other versions. And we've certainly never been using a document of Zad al-Mustaqni itself other than the PDF that Shahzad posts at the bottom. Right, so if you just click on it, that's the text. So I don't even know how you can actually even answer that question anymore, because we've gone now away from having just one version. Right, I've got like a newer version of the Sharh al-Mumti'. That's why I don't give the page number anymore, because if I say to you 583, there's only a few of you who got this version. It's the Maktaba of Uthaymeen, whereas the famous one, the common one, is a different page pagination. Anyway, so. The question is that Allah, astaghfirullah, is specific to the salah. But then you got some big hitters, right? What are the big hitters? Ayatul Kursi is a big hitter. Qul huwallahu ahad, and Ikhlas, and Falaq, and Nas. These are big hitters. Subhanallah, subhanallah, are big hitters. But if you were to say which one is the biggest of the big hitters, is Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Right? So this Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, is it like just general after Salah Dhikr? Or is there such a thing that is kind of time restricted? It's kind of, when I say time restricted, I mean that I want to say, you know when I say like there's a big hitter versus a small kind of dhikr, I can argue that case. There is a level of weight in the ahadith that certain adhkar gets that other adhkar don't get. So for example, reciting Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad 3 times after Maghrib and Fajr is not a very strong interpretation and evidence, actually. It is, but there's interpretations of whether it actually even exists after the prayer and whether it's something that it is meant to be for the time zone, meaning it's a morning dhikr and evening dhikr. That's an opinion. That's an opinion, right? That it's not actually linked to the prayer with the reading it 3 times. So I find that very interesting. Let's think about, and Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrik, for example. Scholars consider that it's not a dhikr after salah at all. Actually, it's meant to be inside the salah before you give salams. So that's disputed. Ayatul Kursi is a big hitter. Very clear it's happening after prayer. Very clear the reward for it. Very clear it should be after the Fard prayer only, etc., etc., etc. We call it a big hitter. The evidence for it is a lot. Allahumma anta salam is another one. And Astaghfirullah is a big one. But Astaghfirullah is unique in that it doesn't make any logistical sense, neither narrated sense, that it would be at the end of your 5 minutes of dhikr. Does that make sense? Yeah? And nearly every scholar that worth their salt said that it goes right at the beginning of the prayer because it's reflecting the catastrophe that the prayer just was. We're meant to making a good job of it. We're meant to make a good fist of it. And we probably went all over the place and shopping and we went to home and we went to the kids and we went to work and we're eating for lunch in a minute. We went everywhere, didn't remember anything from the salah itself. And you realize that, you say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah and you are forced to have a self-awareness moment and say astaghfirullah, I've messed it up again. Another one bites the dust, right? So that little pretext is important because if you think about the last time that you were in a gathering, yeah, and the salah in the 10 days of the Hijjah, for example, not the 10 days of the Hijjah, sorry, in the days of Tashriq, meaning the day after Eid, maybe the ladies are not really privy to this. I wouldn't blame them because they're not in the masjid, right? But the men certainly know, right, guys? When you're in the masjid, right, and the takbirat of Eid start, right? And straight after, the Fajr the next day, and then the day after, and all of the congregational prayers, as soon as the salam is given, the imam starts saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu, and everyone joins in, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Correct? We agreed? And that needs to be asked. Should it go straight after? Does it take priority? Which is what the Hanbali position seems to be. Or should it be delayed? And that's a really important question. Sheikh says, some of the ulama said, it is before al-istighfar and before Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Soon as the imam does the turns round after the salah, kabbara rafi'an sawtahu, he will raise his voice and start making takbir, just as the author has said. And that's what the majority of the Muslims do, by the way. That's the majority Muslim practice. It is populist practice. Okay? Then once they've done it a few times, inevitably 3 times, nobody said it at 3. No evidence to make it 3. But it's done, and it's done in a way which is basically saying that even if you ask the people who do it out loud, they won't say it's a sunnah to do it out loud. But it's like being justified for the sake of reminding people and because they don't know. So it's being done from the bab of teaching as well. So, you should know by now, guys, that when it comes to acts that doesn't have very, very clear, specific evidence, And also, there's a teaching element going on as well. So when I say don't have any evidence, we have clear evidence that you're meant to make takbir, very authentic. We have authentic evidence of how that takbir goes as well, very clear. We do not have very clear evidence exactly when it goes. All right. We also have very obvious facts that most people don't know these things, neither the sunnah of doing it and neither the wording properly as well. So therefore, you're now introducing the concept of teaching as well. And so the imam is like given a little bit of slack when, you know, because you could very, very strongly make the case of saying it's a bid'ah for the imam to A, raise his voice, B, say it with everybody else, three, and then number three, to say it three times. You could legitimately claim three bid'ahs going on. But as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, bid'ah is not all the same type of, you know, same category. There is such a thing of a pure bid'ah and something which is a, at worst, or maybe at best, I don't know, a supplementary bid'ah, meaning building on something which actually is very well established. And now we know that the takbir is established. We know that it's going to be said after salah. We know that people are going to be sitting there. So there's clearly going to be a raising of voices, mixing up of things, and all the rest of it, right? And so therefore, it's not really a bid'ah. And I don't know many of that, like Sheikh Uthaymeen is not going to call it bid'ah, right? But then he's also not speaking about the imam saying it in unison with the people and three times. So, but I can imagine that it's not the biggest yani sin in the world, I want to say, or the biggest problem in the world. And the sunnah is to say it loud yourself. But if a person didn't, all right. So, what's the argument? Sheikh says that the correct position, according to him, is that al-istighfar and Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam muqaddam. That is meant to be given the priority. It should be said first. And after that, and that's because they are connected properly to the prayer. Whereas the takbir is not actually connected to the prayer properly to the prayer, right? It's as connected to the prayer as the general azkar after the salah are connected to the prayer. But when we're talking proper, yani, you know, so we're coming to that, Zara. We're coming to that. That's another question, right? That is another question. So, istighfar should be connected. Alawant as-salam should be connected. And Sheikh Uthaymeen gives his own position as well, because the musalli, he is never going to achieve perfection in the prayer. It's going to be some kind of mistakes, especially in today's time. And there's no person that is not going to be saved being attacked by shaitan in the prayer. And the shaitan, may Allah protect us and you from him, Sheikh Al-Dameen says, when a person enters into salah, Allahu Akbar, then straight away he's on his case and starts putting doubts in, starts making you forget, starts putting things in, blah, 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 blah. Right? And Sheikh says, yeah, it's ajeeb, subhanAllah, that the second we start, he's all over us. And the second that we finish, he's gone. The second that we finish the prayer, he's gone. All the doubts are gone. All the distractions are gone. Whatever. Anyway, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, side point, tangent, is there some way that we can protect ourselves, yani, from this waswas and from shaitan? Can we do something? And you will know the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person came to him and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, can you help us in this? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to that person, Dhaka shaitan. Yani, they said, you know, we get confused and we start doubting and all. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Dhaka shaitan yuqalu lahu khanzab. That's khanzab, who is the specific shaitan that is attacking every single Muslim when they pray. Every single one. We're all yani, unfortunately, at his beck and call in the prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا أَحْسَسْتَ بِهِ. So as soon as you sense him, he's on your case, and here's the thing. He's coming at everybody. But some people are fortunate enough to be in control. Some people are focused on enjoying the prayer, recitation, tadabbur, whatever. But if you're going down and you're sinking, so then you realize, oh my God, I'm getting done over, then turn to your left and dry spit three times. Don't gob anything, yeah? Don't spit. It's just that. All right? Three times. And say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Three times. All right? So it is. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove him from you. Meaning that if you believe in the dua that you're making and you're focused at that moment, then shaitan will leave you. And then it's just your own weakness if you still mess it up after that. But shaitan would have gone. Now you've got to blame yourself now. Anyway, the hadith continues that they did that and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed Khanzab from their prayer at that time. This hadith narrated by a Muslim. Hadith is in the book of As-Salam and the chapter of seeking refuge from the shaitan, from his waswasa in the salah. Hadith number 2203. The hadith of Uthman ibn Abi al-Aws. Alright? Radiallahu anhu wa Allah. So, Sheikh Uthameen is basically in the middle of the prayer. This is right in the middle of the prayer, Safiya. Yani, literally, in the whether in jama'ah, whether praying by yourself, whether in any kind of position, even if you're sitting down, whatever. You're not doing a full salam. You're not exiting the prayer. It's just a slight yani turn to the left, just like I'm doing, right? Just Al-Ghanis Rajim. Yeah? All right? Now, that's that. Tika? Standing, sitting, whatever it is. Tika? So, that's that. Sheikh Uthaymeen's point then, folks, and this is the class position. The evidence supports this. Matter is flexible, by the way. It's not the end of the world. But it would seem that the correct method is Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Allahumma tassalamu alaikum assalamu alaikum ya azal jalali wa alaikum. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Right? And I'd go further that the sunnah is that you're not caring about the people and saying it in line with them, and that it would be your own adhkar. Now, I can't remember whether we discussed this properly and in class or not about my personal opinion of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the hadith in Bukhari, and the practice of the Jamiat Ahl Hadith and some of the Muslims and the scholars of saying Allahu Akbar when they finish the salah. You must have seen it. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Allahu Akbar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And you will maybe know or not know, because I can't remember whether I discussed it or not, that a number of scholars said that the meaning of this is that literally, just take the hadith literally and that's it. Abdullah ibn Abbas knew that the prayer had finished because he heard the takbir. This is what the hadith says. That's their evidence, by the way. That's the reason why those scholars, they make that takbir in that manner before saying istighfar, straight after they give salams. Okay, we discussed it. Good. Jazakallah khair bilad. So, now, why is that important? Because the interpretation of the vast majority is what? The vast majority said that actually Abdullah ibn Abbas didn't mean takbir. When he said, I heard Allah Akbar, when he said, I heard the takbir, what he's saying is using the word takbir to cover all the adhkar. Just general adhkar, right? General, specific, all the adhkar. Which fits well, that's fine. It's a stretch, but it's okay. The more interesting part is the vocal nature of it. And the more interesting part is that there is something there to be said that the dhikr in the masjid is not in pure silence. Now, this is very interesting because if you look at how much we criticize Brelvis, Sufis, blah, 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 who create a rhythm, the Atraq, the Turks, yeah, they take it to a whole different level. They've created a full structured system straight after the salam. A certain guy will say this, then he will salawat, and then they will recite أعوذ بالله من الشيطان أعوذ بالله العظيم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم 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 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. يعني you've been to any Turkish mosque, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's the thing. Then you got like your local Pak mosque, Brelvi mosque. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. They'll kiss their fingers, and it's a set kind of system. I think it's very interesting for us to observe some of these acts which we know are bid'ah, but to know that when it comes to debating, right, it is very important to not get, you know, sidetracked by red herrings, because you will find that nearly all of the various schools, even the deviant ones, even those that have got bid'ah, not so deviant but have got quite a bit of bid'ah, they are not doing, like, you know, like, it's not like what they do has absolutely no basis. No, they will twist something. They have to, otherwise, yeah, you know, they claim to be scholars. They've got to, and so they will say something like, "What do you think Abdullah ibn Abbas heard then?" And they've got a point. Obviously, we'll wipe it out of the park by saying, now let's look at the action of the Sahaba. Now let's go back and find evidences for what was actually said. But we'll say, yeah, we agree with you. There's got to be some type of volume to what you hear afterwards. There's got to be some kind of volume, right? It's not going to be just pure silent. And that's why, if you've ever been, and the Hanbalis believe this and follow this opinion, and if you've ever been in like a, I mean, obviously all of us have seen the Turkish example. All of us have seen the Paki example, yani, in the Brelvi masjids and Sufi masjids where they chant together, whatever. But have you seen the humbly version of this, the Sunnah version? The Sunnah version is, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Let me stand close to the mic. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Allahumma anta assalamu alaikum. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yeah, that's their basic kind of way. They justify it in this kind of manner. Whisper, keep your thing to yourself, and then the various parts of it raised. This is one interpretation. Others say that you say the whole thing out loud so that you're sitting there by yourself, you'll be saying it all. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. This is me as a musalli behind the imam. Why? Based upon the volume, the raised volume. I mention this because that this is in line with an interpretation of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and I have to say this is my personal position. So when I make the adhkar, I try to combine and reconcile between all the narrations. We don't have any narrations that show things being done together. We do have narrations about what is to be said. We do have narrations that show that there's some bit of volume, other people can hear it. Okay? So if other people can hear it, then I need to then make sure that I raise my voice, but I don't believe that the evidence is there for all of it to be raised. So I go up and down, up and down, up and down. Similar to what I do in prayer. We know from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that they used to pray behind him, and they used to know where he is in the prayer in the surah, because they would hear a verse here and there, hear a verse here and there. You know, and some of our teachers used to say that this is an actual sunnah to help the people behind them. Allahu a'lam what the illah is, but our teachers used to say that, right? So, Allah knows best. Anyway, here's the thing. Nowhere in any masjid that you're going to find someone wait and then say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But actually, Shaykh Uthaymeen's position is that is exactly what you should be doing. And that's what I think we should try to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, all right? And if you don't, it's not a major. Why is it not a major, folks? Because we do not have a nas. We do not have a specific hadith that specifies exactly when, exactly how. And everyone's making their best judgment call based upon what they understand, yani, from the evidences. All right. وَالْمُقَيَّدُ عَقِبَ كُلِّ فَرِيضَةٍ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ. So the takbir al-muqayyad, a takbir al-muqayyad, meaning the specific takbir that's after the prayer, it's actually only done, according to the Hanbalis, according to Zad al-Mustaqni, according to Imam al-Hijawi, after every obligatory fard prayer. And as Zara said, whoa, 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 I've been praying, I'll be doing that by myself at home, which is an interesting one. Is it done upon the ladies? That's the first question. Is it done when they're praying at home? Second question. Is it done when it is, because at home you can still be in congregation. Is it done when it's a singular prayer? Right? Is it done when it's a non-obligatory prayer? What about nafil? A lot of further questions coming out, right? So, Sheikh says that the author has benefited us by telling us that it is only restricted to the obligatory prayers. That means the five prayers and the Jum'ah prayer. Okay? And therefore, it is not a sunnah to do it after the nafil prayer. He also, the author, Sheikh Uthaymeen is saying, he also has informed us that it's got to be in Jum'ah. The prayer that it's done after has got to be a congregational prayer. Okay? And so therefore, if a person was to pray alone, then it's not sunnah for him to make takbir after it. Look at the language, by the way. It's important. Yeah, and no one's saying it's obligatory. No one's saying it's haram to not to makruh. It's just not sunnah. That's all. Yeah. And he goes in all way. Also, he's told us that the women at home, it's not a sunnah for them either to make takbir muqayyid, meaning this takbir on the days of Eid after the prayer. It's not for them either in their homes, because the majority of them will not be praying in Jama'ah. So he's not actually making about gender. He's making it about, or he's actually saying that the Hanbalis are making it about the praying at home, in alone. So it's not because they're women, but because they're not praying Jama'ah. So according to the Hanbalis, if you were praying Jama'ah, obligatory prayer, women at home, you'd still say it. Just want to throw that out there. Okay? Sheikh continues, والإنسان الذي تفوت الصلاة في الجماعة ويصليها منفردا لا يصلي. And he goes, also, if a person was to miss a prayer, okay, in the masjid, and now he's got to pray the prayer alone, even in the masjid, okay, he also would not, male guy, would also not make takbir because of what the imam has just said. Also, the Hanbalis, this is all the claims of the Hanbalis. Also, the Hanbalis said that this is restricted to the prayers made on time, not prayers that you're making up. So for example, if you overslept Dhuhr and you woke up at Asr time, now you got to obviously immediately pray Dhuhr, correct? But what if it's the day of Eid? And so do you now make up the takbir or not? According to the Hanbalis, no, you don't. No, you don't. It is only for the prayers that are prayed in their right time, not delayed, not make up prayers, whatever the reason for make up actually is. Therefore, according to the Hanbalis, the conditions to say takbir after the salah, after the salam, yeah, on the days of Eid are three conditions. Number one, that it is an obligatory prayer. Number two, that is offered in congregation. And number three, that it is a prayer which is a mu'adda. Mu'adda means that it's being done ada'an, as an ada, meaning in its right time, properly, not a makeup prayer. So Sheikh Uthaymeen then says, so therefore, if a person wants to pray by themselves, or to pray nafil prayer, or to pray qada, it is not legislated for them to make takbir after the salam, even if they're praying in a jama'ah. Even if they are praying in a jama'ah. Okay? Sheikh Uthaymeen then says, however, other scholars, وقال بعض العلماء, that the takbir al-muqayyad, that the restricted takbir after the prayer, is a sunnah after every prayer. Sorry, beg your pardon. Is a sunnah for every person that prays. For every person that prays. Okay? Whether that person is praying an obligatory prayer or a sunnah prayer, whether that person is praying a prayer on time or a makeup prayer, or whether that person is a man or a woman, or whether that person is in jama'ah or at home. It is for any person that prays, any prayer, as soon as you finish that prayer, make the takbir. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, obviously the first position of the Hanbalis was a restricted one. This one is the exact opposite. It's a very general one, including absolutely everything. Sheikh continues. وَقَالَ بَعْدُ الْعُلَمَاءِ Some scholars said, إِنَّهُ سُنَّةٌ فِي الْفَرَائِدِ It is a sunnah in the obligatory prayers only, whether that is on time or made up. So if it's an obligatory prayer, which is 99% of the time it was going to be, that you need to make up because you missed it, then you do it. But, and whether you're praying it alone or whether you're praying in Jama'ah. So the key is obligatory prayer. Whether it's alone in Jama'ah, whether it's here or there, whether it's home or there, whether it's Jama'ah or not, whether it's man or female. But it's not for nothing. So this next position is quite a specific one. It's basically obligatory prayers, however they're prayed, whenever they prayed, whoever prays them. Do you get? Sheikh says, when you have an issue in which you see the scholars differ in it, like this one, may Allah have mercy upon them, and none of them are mentioning a nas, a definitive text, an ayah from the Quran or a hadith from the Sunnah, a definitive text, not just nas, but nasun fasila, yani a definitive text that gives absolute clarity and is indisputable, فَإِنَّنَا نَقُولَ الْأَمْرُ فِي هَذَا وَأَسِعَ. Well, Sheikh Abdul Ghaffar likes to say الْأَمْرُ فِي سِعَ. الْأَمْرُ فِي سِعَ. Problem is that he says it for absolutely bloody everything. Sheikh Uthaymeen says that when there is no definitive text, then we say that the situation is flexible. The matter is flexible. We can, yani, you know what I mean? So Sheikh then says, and this is his position, he concludes, فَإِنْ كَبَّرَ بَعْضَ صَلَاتِهِ مُنْفَرِدًا فَلَا حَرَجَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ تَرَكَ التَّكْبِيرَ وَلَوْ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ فَلَا حَرَجَ عَلَيْهِ لِأَنَّ الْأَمْرَ فِي هَذَا وَاسِعٌ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Translation is, and so if the person makes the takbir after the salah that he has prayed alone, no problem. And if he left making takbir and he was in jama'ah and it's like the most emphasized and he didn't even do it, no problem. It's not something that you need to make up. It's a sunnah anyway. The matter is flexible as well. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Next, the author said that this takbir, this takbir al-muqayyad, I'm talking about, not the general takbir of the first 10 days of the Hijjah, I'm talking about the specific takbir. It is from Salatul Fajr on the day of Arafah and start time. And it is for the muhrim, meaning the one who's in ihram during Hajj. It is from Salatul Dhuhr of Yom al-Nahr, which is the day of Eid, which is therefore 1.5 days later, by the way. So think about that. That's the differing start time, but the same end time at the end of the days of Tashriq. The end of the days of Tashriq, which is the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. So let's look at this from a date point of view, okay? Let's look at this from a date point of view. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, so the author has made it clear that the start time for the Takbir al-Muqayyid is from the Fajr of Yom al-Arafah ila Asr akhir ayyam al-Tashriq. So this person is going to therefore make Takbir 23 times for 23 prayers. Let's start again now. Dhul-Hijjah, the Islamic month. The first of Dhul-Hijjah, when the moon is seen, and these next 10 days are the best 10 days of the year. And the last 10 nights of Ramadan are best 10 nights of the year. We've covered that last week. All right. First of Dhul-Hijjah, second of Dhul-Hijjah, everything is great. Then we come to the most important day is Arafah, day of Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Day of Arafah is an incredibly important day, an honorable day. It's the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees the most people from the hellfire. It is the day in which Allah accepts the du'as of all the believers. It is the day in which the Hajj is defined by this moment. It is the day in which the shaitan is most despondent because he has lost it all on that day, because everyone, yani, essentially gets forgiven. And yani, it's a disaster for him. And that's for the Hujjaj and for the people who are at home. They also take from that barakah and from that love. And if they fast that day, then they get 2 years of sins forgiven. It's a monumentous day. And even those who don't fast, and even yani, just making ibadah in that day, it's monumentous. It's the special day of the all of the 10 days. So the 10 days are all great, but then this is the one. And the Prophet ﷺ already said about all the actions that are done, yani, it's the most beloved, it's the most rewarded, unless you literally go out and sacrifice your life, yani, jihad fi sabilillah. So you can understand the level of Arafah, reciting Quran on the Arafah. A lot of scholars, they actually sit and promote the sitting in the masjid between Asr and Maghrib to try to take a little bit of what's happening on Arafah itself, making dua, It's called ta'arif. The scholars used to call it ta'arif, the salaf. And it's not a bid'ah. Many of the imams used to do it. Between Asr and Maghrib, if you didn't go to Hajj, all of you should take advantage and be making dua as if you are on Arafah. Similar to what you do on a Friday. Similar to what many people do on Friday. Even though my personal belief is that it's not known to us that the dua of the Sa'd al-Istijaba, the hour of acceptance of dua, is the last hour before Maghrib. Many scholars did say that, so you see a lot of Muslims, yani, they go hard, you know, especially in the masajid. So the same should happen there, Arafah. Anyway, Arafah, big day. It's the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The next day, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, is called Eid al-Adha for everyone who's around the world, and for the people who are at Hajj, it's called Yom al-Nahr. The Prophet ﷺ never prayed the Eid prayer when he was at Hajj. It's called Yom al-Nahr, even though it is Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Adha, the Eid of the Adha, the Udhiyah, the sacrifice. Whereas for us, it's been given a name also after the Udhiyah, but a specific type, which is Nahr. And I told you before that Dahaya, yani, yeah, and the Nahr is the spear which has to go into the camel's neck harder, more difficult, more muscle, more kicking around missions. Yom al-Nahr. Nahr is the sacrifice standing, and Zabah is the basic one. Anyway, so the 10th of Dhul Hijjah is Yom al-Nahr. And we have a hadith about Yom al-Nahr. Ibn Taymiyyah said it's the best day of the year, by the way. It's his opinion. Why? Because he said it's the day that gathers all the major actions of the Hajj in one moment. The morning of Muzdalifah, the standing in Dua Muzdalifah, the return back to Mina, the stoning of the Jamarat, the big sacrifice, the cutting of the hair, the big tawaf of Ifadah, the big sa'i of Ifadah, the big return back to the Mina to spend the night in Mina. These are all huge acts of worship. Talbiyah all the way through the day as well. Takbir all the way through the day as well. There is a very strong argument that there's no single other day in the year, include Ramadan, include Laylatul Qadr as well. Think about it. There's no single other day in the year in which there's a mass gathering of big ticket acts of worship. Big ticket acts of worship. What's the best closest rival? Arafah would be a close rival. Laylatul Qadr will be a close rival because you've got a fasting in the day, Taraweeh in the night, and then every and any act in the nighttime being massively then magnified, whether that's dua or extra prayer or Quran. So you've got three fundamental acts of worship, and then you've got all your mini ones, but it's the big ticket items. Doesn't even come close to Yom al-Nahr. Think about that. So the Yom al-Nahr is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And then you have the Ayyam al-Tashriq. Yani, Tashriq itself, as you know, it is when the animals you'd be slaughtered, right? Massive amount of meat, no refrigerators. Everyone's going to eat, feed everybody, spread it out, but still too much meat. And we've got to have some kind of system here. So what would they do? They would basically make jerky. So they would cut it into small strips, slice it, strips, and then hang it out to dry so that it becomes jerky. Jerky is like a biltong. Biltong is, got no idea what they're calling it, but in if you're Desi and you don't know what jerky is and what biltong is, then I've got no idea what to tell you, but there must be a packing name for it on Arab name. But anyways, tashriq is that process of slicing, splicing all the meat up and drying it out so that it can last for weeks and months afterwards. And people eat that and prepare it on the 11th of Dhul Hijjah, the 12th of Dhul Hijjah, and the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. And because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that these ayyam of tashriq, these days are the days of eating and drinking and the dhikr of Allah, that's why we call it Big Eid, because it's like the Eid continues on from the 10th to 11th, 12th. So it's 4 days, essentially. Does that make sense? So we have these dates, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and Jazakallah Khair to Bilal, who has Ameen, make Allah take us all back to Hajj. Sheikh Uthaymeen says there are 23 prayers for the one who is at home. He starts on the Fajr of Arafah, that's going to be 5 on the 9th. Then the day of Eid for them, that's going to be another 5, yeah, on the 10th. Then 11th and 12th gives him another 5 each. So that's 20. And then on the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, he is only doing Fajr, Dhuhr, and Asr. After Asr, that's the last time. So for 23 prayers, you're going to be making the takbir of Muqayyid. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, after the prayer. For the Hajj, though, he's being told that your takbir starts from Dhuhr on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Why? Because the 9th is completely consumed with ibadah and dua and talbiyah. And talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Yani the king of adhkar on that day. But that talbiyah also continues on the morning as well. And that talbiyah ends when? At the duha time, forenoon, 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, by the time when you arrive at the stoning. And it ends at the stoning, not because it ends at the stoning, but it ends when you become halal. You are haram at the moment, that's why you are muhrim. When you do a tahallul, you make yourself halal, you are entering into a halal state. And there are two levels of halal from the being in a haram state. Your haram state is seen by what you say and do and what you can't wear and can't, you know, perfume and cut and your clothes are haram and no sexual relations and blah, blah, blah. So all of that is what's haram for you. And to get out of this haram state, you've got two halal states, small halal and a big halal, right? So when you are becoming into your halal state, just stoning, according to me, and there's many different opinions. Some say that you got to stone and then do zabah and then cut your hair. And unless you've done all these three things, you can't take your ihram off. You can't do the minor tahallul. In my opinion, just stoning is enough. Or stoning and shaving is enough. Or yani, or just two or one of these items is enough. And there's a big, big discussion. And if you ever get the chance to, inshallah, come to Hajj with us, then the masterclass videos will go over that in great detail. It's a wonderful kind of production from the AB team. Anyway, so that's a small tahallul. And when the tahallul occurs, which is going to be at the jamarat, talbiyah stops because you've done tahallul. Yep. So that's why by dhuhr, virtually everybody, if they're following sunnah, has completed now the tahallul. They've finished from the ihram state, which means no more talbiyah is now said at all. There's no talbiyah now. Gone, finished now. And then that's replaced now with takbir. It's replaced with takbir after the prayers we're talking about. After the prayers. Okay? So, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, as for the muhrim then he's from dhuhr on the day of nahar. He's very busy with the talbiyah. The fuqaha, may Allah have mercy upon them, said that this is, the talbiyah is a dhikr which is legislated after every obligatory prayer. And they considered that, they came upon this opinion because of the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he ahalla dubar as-salah. That in the narration of Imam Ahmad, volume 1, hadith number 285, also narrated by Imam Tirmidhi, in the book of Hajj, in the chapter, Bab ma ja'a mata ahram, and yani what has been narrated concerning when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put the ihram on. Yeah, this hadith number is hadith number 819. And then it's also narrated by Imam Nasa'i in the book of the Hajj rituals in the chapter of the actions to be done in the whilst you're saying La ilaha illallah, fi al-ihlal. Hadith number is 2754. All of these sources are the same hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahalla dubar as-salah. He made the ihlal, which is the labbaik Allahumma labbaik, right? So this hadith is not the most authentic hadith, but it gives you some idea that the talbiyah is meant to be said after the salah and generally during all movements and when the situation goes down, mood goes down, you need to bring up the energy. And when you're about to get into some kind of ritual action, you remind yourself what you're doing, you purify your intention, here only for Allah's sake, not yani for la riya'a fiha wa la sum'a, as the hadith states that the Prophet ﷺ would say, at the beginning of ihram, that I'm entering into this ihram and I don't want any kind of I don't want to give it a big one. I don't want to show off. I don't want to attract the unwanted attention that, oh, look at this guy going Hajj, you know, because a lot of people like that, especially in our Muslim communities, right? And so that, you know, this mindset is important to make sure that this is for Allah's sake and not just for, you know, telling people I did it and I'm a Hajji now, a Hajji sah, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so, yeah. The scholar said, in al-muhrim, when the person's in ihram, as soon as they give salam from the prayer, then, and they are still in ihram, then they make talbiyah. And as soon as they make a tahallul al-awwal, as soon as they come out of the first part of that haram, okay, at the Duha time, after Fajr, after 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, on the day of Nahar, then the takbir starts. That's why it's from Dhuhr of Yawm al-Nahar. Because it's meant for, according to Hanbalis, remember, it's after every obligatory prayer in Jama'ah. So it's going to obviously start after Dhuhr. Okay? Idhan, إن المحرم لا يحل إلا إذا رمى جمرة العقبة يوم العيد وحلق أو قصر فإذا رمى جمرة العقبة انقطعت التلبية. So the محرم, as soon as he shaves or as soon as he stones, خلاص, done, تلبية finishes. And therefore, he prays ظهر, and then according to the author, he starts making takbir. Therefore, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, according to the Hanbalis, the takbir is to be divided into three groups. Yeah? Takbir al-taqayyud, taqyid, sorry, and al-itlaq, meaning al-mutlaq and muqayyid, meaning restricted and unrestricted, three times. First one is when there is only takbir mutlaq. Second, when there is only takbir muqayyid. And the third one, when there is, third time, is when there is takbir mutlaq and muqayyid. So there are three possibilities. A time in which there's only takbir mutlaq, a time where there's only takbir muqayyid, meaning restricted to an event, meaning the salah, and then when a third time when both you have general and you have specific. And that's according to the Hanbali madhab. And so an example, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, according to the Hanbali madhab, where there's only takbir mutlaq, is in Eid al-Fitr. This is like the morning of Eid al-Fitr when you arrive to Eid al-Fitr until the imam finishes from his, until the imam starts his khutbah, okay? And in Eid al-Adha, the same, and the 10 days before it. So this is salat, this is takbir al-mutlaq only. This is general takbir here and there, in the streets, at home, like I explained a couple of lessons ago. This is not after every prayer specifically, this is general. So this is an example in the Hanbali school of when you only make takbir al-mutlaq. Then, the takbir of mutlaq and muqayyid, then he goes, well, this would be, for example, on Deb Arafah, from the Fajr time, okay, until the khutbah of Salatul Eid is done. So if you think about all of the Deb Arafah, and then Fajr, and then Eid prayer, and the khutbah, so for this kind of day and a bit, there's going to be a combination of general takbir during the day and the markets and everything else, and then the specific one after the prayers, because we've already covered that. So that's when both of them come together. And then when takbir al-muqayyad only, and that's going to be when from the zuhr of Yawm al-Nahar, okay, from the zuhr of Yawm al-Nahar or Eid, all right, Eid al-Adha, until the end of Tashriq. And that's whether you are Hajji or non-Hajji. That's all. There's not going to be general takbirs now, but just restricted takbir after the prayer to give it more emphasis, to give it more airtime, to give it more structure, I want to say. All right? That's according to the Hanbalis. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, actually, the more correct position according to him is that the takbir al-mutlaq in Eid al-Adha, it actually stops and ends at the end of Ayyam al-Tashriq. The general takbir doesn't end at the beginning of the day. It carries on. It carries on and it open-ended, right? And so therefore, you would have general mutlaq and then specific, meaning after the prayer only, from the morning, from the Fajr of the day of Arafah until the last, until the sun setting on the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, the last day of the days of Tashriq. So Sheikh Uthaymeen is extending the time period where both are together. And he says, the evidence for that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 203. Remember Allah in the specific days, specified days, restricted days. And the أَيَّامُ الْمَعْدُودَاتِ, as the scholars said, is the أَيَّام التَشْرِيقِ. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his hadith and statement, ayyamu tashriq ayyamu aklin wa shurbin wa dhikrillah, that the days of tashriq are the days of eating and drinking and the making of the dhikr of Allah, hadith narrated by Muslim 1141. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not
say that this these days are only to have takbir al-muqayyid, i.e. only the takbir after the salah. But he just said zikr of Allah the whole days. Therefore, in these 3 days, or 4 days I should say, 5 days actually, Fajr, Eid day, and then the 3 days after of Tashriq, all these 5 days, it will be a combination of takbir al-mutlaq, meaning all the time, every time, in bed, out in the car, going here, there, where, and muqayyid, meaning after the prayer only, the muqayyid, restricted ones. And therefore, it is not three times and three categories like the Hanbali said, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, that the correct position is that there are two categories. Either when the hadith is mutlaq, sorry, when the takbir is mutlaq, or when there is mutlaq and muqayyid. There's no such thing as a time where there is muqayyid only. Whereas the Hanbali said, no, the third category is muqayyid only. But Sheikh Uthaymeen says, no. There is no such thing as a day in where there's only muqayyid. Wherever there's a muqayyid, there will be mutlaq. But not the other way around. Wherever there's a mutlaq, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's muqayyid. How do you know? Well, the beginning of the days of Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days, the first like 8 and a bit days, those are days we're only going to have mutlaq takbir. Whereas then all the rest of the time, all the way to the end of Ayyam Tashriq, is going to be takbir and takbir muqayyid and mutlaq. I know that your head's spinning. I'm amazed that I've been able to stay locked in. I had the longest day at work ever, and I can see it like as clear as anything. I don't know why, I'm in the zone right now. I can see it. So Sheikh Uthaymeen says, therefore, al-mutlaq, you can write this down as a summary. So the general takbir is on the night of Eid al-Fitr. So as soon as Maghrib, you've prayed and Maghrib is announced, we start the takbiratul Eid. Call it takbiratul Eid, yeah? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, alhamd. After Maghrib, during the Maghrib, after Isha, all the way until the khutbah itself. And that's in Fitr. And then in Eid al-Adha, it is from the first of Dhul Hijjah until the Fajr of Arafah. This is mutlaq only, not linked to the prayer. Then mutlaq and muqayyid, when it's combined, is from the Fajr of Yom Arafah until the sunset of the last day of Tashriq. That's essentially the perfect summary. Suraya is saying the truth. I'll say it one more time. Therefore, we have one time where it's only general takbir, everywhere, anytime, unrestricted, informal, organic takbir all the time. That is on the night of Eid. So as soon as Eid is announced, you start saying it everywhere, here and there, walking, getting changed, everything. Yep. So that's after Maghrib, after Isha, all the night, all the morning, until you see the khatib. That's for Eid al-Fitr at the end of Ramadan. Okay? And this same applies to in Eid al-Adha. It doesn't apply to Eid, but rather the first 8 days of Dhul Hijjah. From the first of Dhul Hijjah right until the morning of the ninth. That's general. And then the second category is when you have the general takbir and the specific one after the prayer. When is this? This only occurs in the Eid al-Adha, and it starts from the day before Eid al-Adha, which is day of Arafah. It starts at Fajr time all the way until when the sun sets on the 13th of Al-Hijjah. So for these 5 days, you are combining between all day between specific and general takbir. All right. We're never going to come back to that again. Alhamdulillah. Right. وَإِن نَسِيَهُ قَضَاهُمَا لَمْ يُحْدِثْ أَوْ يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. Or is that too much? Jad Salim? Have we killed everybody or what? I think I missed it. What was the class position that do we as ladies also recite this even though we're praying at home? Yes. No problem.
Ross, no wonder.
The chapter is finished. We're gonna finish this chapter next week, by the way.
Oh my goodness, yes. That's why.
Cello. We'll call it then. Let's do some questions, Q&A and stuff like that. And just because we're not sad gamers,
يا سلام. Where's my sister? My wife ain't seen her for ages. Don't tell me she's become naraz with us, bro. Right. Any questions, boys and girls?
Uh-huh. That is a clarification. Yeah.
I'm so hungry. Haven't eaten, bro.
Oh.
I heard some of the same ones. So Amela asked this question.
So for you tell your 7-year-old, and I can't believe you didn't give us her name, that I'm great. And second one, I heard for asking. If I heard someone say that if something is haram to do, then watching it is also haram. That's not correct. No, that's too general. In certain cases, yes, that's correct. And zina is one of those examples. But it's not absolutely. So you are right. Okay, so this rule is not correct automatically all the time.
With regards to the hadith that prohibits sitting half in the shade and half in the sunlight, does this only apply to someone sitting outside, or would it also apply to someone inside, for example, at a desk? So this is a very difficult hadith to interpret, I have to tell you. Scholars struggle to understand what the illah of this hadith is. And because you can't work out what the illah is, then you can't work out whether this is something to do with actual sunlight, actual, is it to do with inside, is it not? Is it yani trying to indicate things or not? And I have to tell you that I do not have the confidence to try to common sense it. You know, my approach to Islam is that if I read the position of the scholars and teachers and I find that they are extremely convincing or unanimous in their explanation for why something happens, then I'll have the confidence to try to kind of think my way out of it. When I realize that their explanations are weak, they're struggling, there's no definitive, yani, obvious answers, then I just play easy and lazy and I just go with the majority and I say that, yep, if I see half shade, half not, I'm not going to sit in it. And that's it. And this is one of those examples. I am not convinced with the people who are trying to explain it. It's outside, it's inside, it's this, that. I do believe that there is an answer out there. I haven't given it the time that I want to convince myself and take the guts to be able to. And you're doing it.
Oh, how old are you? How old are you? You never ask a woman her age, bro. Come on. I said, how are you? I thought you said. Nutmeg is fine. I don't know why people have a problem with nutmeg. I have no problems with nutmeg at all. Bilal summary. The Hanbali position is that the mutlaq, the general, night of Eid al-Fitr until Imam starts Eid prayer. Yep. And the first 10 days of the Hijjah ending at the start of the Fajr day of Arafah. Correct. Muqayyad, specific, and mutlaq, 9th of Dhul Hijjah through to the Imam starts the Eid prayer. And Muqayyad only post Eid Salah through 13th Dhul Hijjah. Correct. Whereas the class position is mutlaq is 9th of Eid al-Fitr and Eid Salah and first 8 days of Dhul Hijjah. And mutlaq and Muqayyad is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Fajr time through 13th of Dhul Hijjah. Perfect, Bilal. Absolutely great. Absolutely great. Is there extra sunnah prayers, qiyam, to be prayed on night of Eid? Scholars differed over this. The hadith, I believe, is weak. Okay? Hadith is weak. And so, I personally do not believe that there is extra value, but a number of the scholars did. A number of the scholars did. Okay? The ruling of passing in front of people whilst they're praying is not allowed at any time. Especially in the Masjid al-Haramain, that's where the hadith were revealed. I don't understand how people think just because it's busy that you can do it. But you got to remember that ruling on passing in front of people is only about a foot past your sajda point. After that, people can pass. It's not a problem. Okay?
Bit of a shady position.
Always undefeated. Friends like, what the heck? I've been eating nutmeg all my life. I don't know, man. People are a bit sensitive to it. Some scholars didn't consider it yani allowed. I do get that. All right. Brothers and sisters, it was a pleasure. Guys, you guys forget. Your boy's in the house and I've got moves now. All right. What you don't really know is that Shahzad Salim reminded me of just how powerful I used to be, about how skilled I was. Obviously, I'm old dog now, yeah. But when I was young, I learned something called OBS streaming. And it allows me to say, Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka Allahumma wa atubu ilayk. And it allows me to do sick moves. Oh my God, it allows me to do, first of all, bro, how the hell did you guys forget? How? Oh, no, it's not that. Okay. Nearly. It allows me to do things like this.